It's a blessing to be here this morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful drive up here. It's a nice setting. Truly is a blessing. And come up and see you all as a brotherhood, a new congregation. And I'm excited for what God has done and is doing. And even though there's life's a battle, and we face challenges, and it's not always easy, but we find the Lord to be faithful, and we can truly say that God is good. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. A little nervous. You can pray for me, but trust God as He always does. He comes through faithful, and so I'm trusting in that. But so you can all open your Bibles to Matthew 13:31-32 for an opening text, and I'll be referencing back to this a few times as we go through this. This is something that God has been speaking to my heart, and I recently read this. I've been going through the book of Matthew in the mornings, and find it very, very rich. I've been trying just to read smaller portions and trying to digest it a little more instead of seeing how fast I can go through it. I've been just doing a little bit at a time, and then I find a couple verses and put it on my phone, and I try to bring it back up throughout the day. Some days I don't get it done. We get consumed with our work and everything. But I try to I put it in my home screen and try to think about it throughout the day and digest it and think about it. And this is one of those verses that I've been thinking about, so figured I'd share it this morning. Hopefully you can be touched and inspired yourself, but this is mainly for me. So, verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And there's another reference to Luke 13:18-21 that pretty much repeats it word for word, a little bit different. I just thought I'd turn to that. Luke 13:18-21. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? He's just asking, how do I explain what the kingdom of God is like? And he goes on to say, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Another word for lodge is nested. And so it got big enough where birds can come and find refuge and make their nests in. So yeah, just to break it down a little bit, it is inspiring to study the mustard seed, just the significance of it. And I came up with a couple words. You know, you think about a mustard seed, it's very small. And you basically can't see it unless you're right up close and you kind of a microscopic size. And so the mustard seed can represent just being small and somewhat insignificant and invisible and maybe useless, or so it can seem. And when I just wrote this, it said, I thought of this, it's God's recipe, I believe. And it's what God is after, and but alone it's not worth much. That is correct. By itself, it's not worth very much, and it's small. And what can it, you know? It can't even feed anybody very long or anything. It's too small for that, unlike corn or something. So God's recipe. I just thought of that. We can feel that way in our own lives. We can feel insignificant and incapable sometimes. And who am I? whether it's in raising a family or maybe you're a single person here, and you're trying to find your way, trying to find purpose in life, and there's a lot of questions you face, there's a lot of peer pressures, and maybe you don't feel like you have talents like some other people do, or people don't come to you like they do some other people. There's a lot of things like that that can cause us to kind of shrink back and just not pursue the kingdom of God, pursue God's will for our life. But God's recipe is something that is small and to man's eyes useless and insignificant and invisible. And that is, I am convinced, that is what God is after. That's why he put this parable in here. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Let's turn to Matthew 11:11-12. Matthew 11:11-12. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I had to think that violence, the violent take it by force, isn't that simply dealing with the pride that lurks within us and just laying down our lives and yielding our rights and my reputation and becoming a servant and becoming open to other people speaking to my life and becoming pliable or entreatable. And that takes, it gets violent sometimes. I know for me, there's feelings, there's situations arise, there's pressure, there's people don't understand what I'm going through right now, and it takes a violent pursuit to lay that down and just humble myself to this day. I think you all can identify. So that's God's recipe. Likened to a mustard seed. You can hardly see it until you bring it right up close, and it's a real tiny seed. Then it says, which a man took and sowed in his field. So somebody has this seed, and he saw potential in it, and he did something about it. He didn't just shrink back and say, oh, I'm small, useless, insignificant, and invisible, and therefore shrink back into a hole and do nothing about it. Because he took it and saw potential. Do we see potential in our lives through the promises of the Word of God and do something about it and plant it? He says he planted it. He took it and sowed it in his field. And so he did something about it. Is there something in our lives that we come to a point of decision? Maybe you're wrestling with something. Maybe there's strife between you and your dad or you and your brother or somebody, and you're wrestling through that. And maybe that's, you come to a crossroad and you say, I'm going to choose to lay it down and come under my dad, my brother, my boss maybe, and you plant that, and you die. And that's when God can work. That seed is planted and it dies. The reputation of that seed is forever gone. And then God can start using it, and it begins to grow. Give up my way. Just simple, give up my way. Yield my heart. We know what's right. Often we do know what's right. Deep down in my heart, we make all kinds of excuses, and we justify it, and we buck around it, and we say this is why and that is why. But deep down, we know. It's very simple. And so you get that seed, and you plant it, and you die. And I don't know. This is something I long for in my life. As I get older, I'm 31, and I long for that. And I'm beginning to recognize that it's something that we'll always have to come to grips with. And there is a, I think that's part of that, where Jesus said, "Take up, unless you take up the cross and deny yourself, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And it is something you're going to wrestle with all through your life. I think there's growth, there's milestones you reach, things you learn, but God always has, you know, it's kind of like school, grade 1, grade 2, 3, and 4, and it just keeps going. So give up my way and yield my heart is probably the biggest way that we can take that mustard seed and take it into our garden, just plant it. And we just lay it down, cover it up. Yes, nobody sees it, it's gone, and we cringe at that because we want to be noticed, we want to be somebody, we want to protect it, and we want to shine it up maybe, take that seed and want to shine it up. But we come to recognize even what little we have, as small as that seed is, we think we're somebody sometimes. And as you, when you lay it down and you come before God, we see how small we are and how foolish man's attempt to become useful in their own strength, in their own way. And it's truly a beautiful thing when God gives you a desire to pursue that. And another thing I thought, there's 3 points of how we could take that mustard seed and plant it in our garden, cover it up with dirt. There's giving of my way, yielding my heart, and then there's prayer. I thought of prayer. I've been thinking about prayer quite a bit, and I desire to do it more, but I struggle sometimes. I struggle with, you know, I hardly prayed today, or maybe, yes, we could pray throughout the day, but taking at least a little bit of time aside every day, just pray, open our heart to God and talk to God. Why is it so hard? Why is it a struggle that we face? And there again, prayer is God's recipe. Something that seems to be small and insignificant, useless, invisible, nobody sees me, and seemingly nothing happens when I pray. And does God hear me? Yeah, we know He does, but we struggle believing that. Let's turn to James 5:16. There's a verse there regarding prayer. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There again is something small, like that grain of mustard seed, that God wants to take. He does want to use us, I believe. He wants us to dig in and grab a hold and pursue God and make something beautiful out of us. But He wants us to come to a place where we believe that it's God, it's not me. And therefore, we grab a hold of things like laying my life down and praying to God. Yes, we want to go just to accomplish something, but we begin to pray and believe that God wants to work through prayer. There's a story, this was actually in Pennsylvania Leadership. I don't know who all was, I think a couple of you were there maybe. And I think it was Leonard Gunther gave a story of a praying woman that was bedfast. She was bedridden. She couldn't get out of her bed, and I think her son or daughter maybe took care of her. And her church, it was like a Mennonite church, I think. They were struggling very much. A lot of carnality, and a lot of young people were leaving, and rebellion, and all that. And she started praying for this church. And I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but one of her son came to her and told her he heard about this D.L. Moody somewhere, this preacher that is preaching, and there's revival starting. He just told her about it, and she started thinking, she's going to pray that God would send this man to her church. So she started praying that, and the likelihood of him coming to their church was pretty small. He was very busy, and their church was, you know, a small church in a little corner, wherever they were. And so it was not likely to happen, but she started praying that way. And sure enough, one day, word came that D.L. Moody's going to come to preach at their church. And he came, I think it was on a Sunday morning, and he preached that Sunday morning message, and nothing happened. There was no response. Nobody came up to the altar call. And he was scheduled to come that night, and he almost canceled. He said, I don't know why I'm here. There's God's not working here. But he decided to come and preach that night, and it ended up the whole church responded, and they got converted. Many of them, that church completely changed from a dead church to a, revival came through. And he feels it was because of this woman that believed in prayer back in her house, in her bed, day after day for this church. So I think prayer is another way that God wants to do mighty things. And if we can just get a hold of that, I think God can do that for us. And we can all think of some personal prayers in our life that God answered in clear ways. Maybe small ways, but yet it was very evident that God answered and God moved. So those are faith builders. And then another one I thought is service. Giving our lives, sacrificing my life to serve others and God. I believe once we come to that point, God has already done a deep work. When we come to that point where we desire to serve and bless others, it is a miracle. I think a miracle has already happened in our heart because that's so against our nature. I don't know how many of you heard of this quote. Somebody said it, I don't know who, but he said, there's no telling what God can do with a group of people where nobody cares who gets the glory. And they're united, and they have one mission and one purpose. Nobody cares who gets the glory. And I think even in the military, that's somewhat what they go after, strive for, to get their people to come to a place where they have each other's back, they stand together, and they identify with this group of people to get the mission accomplished. And we all want that, I think. I do. I want that where I can come to a place where just serve God to the fullest and pursue it with our life. And get active in whether it's just, you know, raising a family, being there for our children, our wives, blessing her, and our church, even right here. You're a small church, but there's much potential. For any one of you that wants to be effective, just begin serving. And don't care if nobody notices you, because you're doing it for God, and your fulfillment is coming from serving God and being His child and being identified as part of the kingdom of God. And there's one mission and one goal that we're all going after, and that's to glorify Him and to bring other people to that place of giving their heart to Him too. And I think when we come to that place, it's definitely a miracle. It's we could say, a work of God in the heart. And that's what I want to bring that verse 32 in. It says, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I almost get emotional reading that, because that fruit that comes from that death that happened in our life when we died, we planted that seed in the ground, that fruit that comes from that, when it is grown, I thought of this, it's definitely a work of God, but it's when we come to that place where we no longer care about being noticed and building my reputation, but we actually become jealous and passionate for the church of God, or the work of God. And we love to serve. We love to give our lives. And That's a miracle. I don't think no man can come to that place on his own. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You know, when you find yourself around a person like that, it's very evident. You love to be around him, and you find him safe. You get hope when you talk to him, and you see that he's a true friend. And he has answers for my life. And it's a place of safety. It's so evident because of the heart, definitely the heart of God that's in that person comes out all over. And I think that's the birds of the air that come and lodge in the branches thereof. Other people come to us for answers, and they find safety, and they find hope. Somebody to listen to them. And we just give it. No, we don't have all the answers. No, we're not a know-it-all. We're not this big person that just has all the answers, and we have all the wisdom, and we direct them to this place. And it's not that. It's the Spirit of God that's coming out, a caring heart for them. And I believe even people that we run into the gas station or Walmart or wherever we go, that smile, that passion for people, I think comes out, and God is glorified. And I think it's addicting. Danny Kennison preached a message. I don't know how many of you heard it, but it's inspiring. It says, "Others, Lord, others." And he just shared his testimony back in the days in Chicago when they had a children's ministry, and they brought hundreds of children in these buses to this church every week or every day or something, and had Bible studies and, you know, basically preached to them. And he said he got addicted to it. He got addicted to preaching the gospel and serving. And so this kind of thing can become addicting and can grab a hold of us. I think where your treasure is, there a heart. Where there will your heart be also. What we pursue after, our heart will follow. But for me, sometimes there's distractions. There's the daily grind of life and duties that we wrap our hearts in. But we can come back to this. We don't have to be condemned. We can come back to this and say, "Lord, do that work and help me to love the church. Help me to love your kingdom. And to just give my life for it." When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I'm going to read Luke again on that same verse. Luke 13:18. "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree." Talk about greatness in the kingdom of God is just the humble servant that loves to serve. And servanthood is being active. It's being busy. It's not just being this lowly person back in the corner that, you know, trying not to be noticed. No, you're active. You're giving your life. You're reaching out. And so I think that's what God is looking for, part of that fruit, that big tree where others can come and find encouragement. A couple more verses I want to shift gears just a little bit here. You know, we come to this point where we love to serve and we're willing to die and submit ourselves to our parents and the church. And then it seems sometimes as life goes on, we can get tired of that. We can just get weary and we're tempted to go after something else or, you know, look for something more. We become discontent. But I think the answer to that is faithfulness. Just continuing to lay hold of eternal life and to pursue it with all that we have. 1 Timothy 6:12, I'll read that as well. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses." I'm not sure what all that means, but what I get from it is to lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed. We all, a lot of us, you know, made a profession, got converted back in the day, and, you know, 10 years, 15, 20 years down the road, where are we? Are we being faithful? Are we not letting go of the things that we claim to be and claim to have gained and professed in our lives? Are we being faithful until the end? And it takes faith, too, to just be a faithful servant and believe that God wants to use us day in and day out. Another verse regarding faith, 1 John 5:4. Says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So it is our faith that believes that God has a work for me. And not out there, not somewhere, oh, I wish I could be that person or this place, but right here. And a brother once told me, he said, you know, he said, whether you're a young person or whoever you are, God custom tailors your situation and the people you're with and your circumstances specifically for you. It is no mistake that you were born in the family you were. God has, and you could take what you experience and what you go through, and you could turn that thing around and grab a hold of God's heart and make something beautiful out of it. The problem is most people don't have the faith to do that. They think, oh, if I would only be over here, be that person, I could do it, but it's not for me. Because of what people did to me and the situation I'm in. So I think faith is a big part. And I've always been fascinated by airplanes. And I think it was Burn Leadership one year. A brother shared this, and he started sharing about these big jets that, you know, they come out on the runway and they prepare for takeoff. And picture the pilot. He's in that plane and he lays in the throttle and he starts to take off, taxi down the runway to take off. And he sees that fence coming in the end and he's like, oh, you know, am I going to make it? And he slams on the brakes and he turns around and he tries it again. And he sees that fence coming, he slams on the brakes again and turns around. And until that pilot has the faith that this plane is going to take off, once he comes to that point, he can just lay in the throttle and go for it. And sure enough, the plane takes off and it overcomes the law of gravity. But I had to think, to get to that, like for instance, for me to come up and share this morning, you become vulnerable because you realize that God is either going to use me or I'm going to make an embarrassment out of myself up here. And so it takes faith to say, yes, I would do that. And there's a point that plane reaches on the runway as he lays in that throttle and gains tremendous speed on the ground. There's a point where he cannot turn back. He's either going to crash or he's going to take off. And so I had to think that's places in our life where we choose to become vulnerable and we give ourselves to the work of God. It's either sink or swim, and it's all God at this point. And it's just like I said. I know I could stand in the airport and watch these things for hours. But you picture this thing taking off and overcoming gravity, not barely, but with tremendous power. Those engines, the thrust those things give, and picture the fuel to be the Spirit of God. That fuel that's fueling those engines, and just, you know, hundreds of tons of weight lift off in the air like that. But gravity is still pulling. There's still conflict and there's still temptation. Gravity is still pulling down, but this thing's overcoming it far beyond. I really like that illustration. I think of it quite a bit. When we struggle to overcome sin, and there's temptations as a young person, and the pressure is real, your smartphone is in your hand, and there's a lot of things that coming at you. Do you believe that, like those planes with tremendous thrust, you can overcome, not barely, but far overcome the sin, any kind of sin that wants to tempt you? And it's exciting when God plants that faith in our hearts to know that it doesn't mean there's not conflict and there's trouble. There's struggle, and maybe your marriage or your relationship with your dad, there's conflict. There's just the daily grind of life. You're discouraged, but do you believe that God wants to give you the power to overcome? So yeah, this encouragement to me, and I pray that for my life first and you all, that we could all be encouraged. Whatever lies ahead of us, as a church, as an individual, that we would believe the promises of God. And like this verse that says about this grain of mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when that faith is born in our hearts, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree. And the enemy cannot touch you. In fact, there's many other people who come to you to find answers. The enemy can't touch you because that faith, like that airplane, has grabbed a hold of you and say, this trouble that I'm facing will not stop me. And I'm not going to let it discourage me. I'm going to continue on. And I want to close with a couple of verses in Matthew 13, 36-43. It says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. The disciples were asking Jesus to explain that parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares. And Jesus, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It just struck me. It said what he's going to do to the tares. But then he didn't go on to say, yeah, then the wheat he's going to take into heaven. But he simply says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Shouldn't that excite us, that all the struggle and the fighting and the pursuit of God, there's a day coming we're going to shine like the sun on a bright sunny day. And we're going to be forever with the Lord, and all the fighting's going to seem well worth it. So, yeah, my prayer is that this could be a blessing to you, an encouragement, and it definitely is for my life. And if there's anything in my life any of you see, I pray that I could continue to be an open book, and we could do that to each other. So, yeah, may God have his way, and Lord bless you.